Once upon a time, when people took out a mortgage from a bank, the bank held on to that mortgage. That was the old days. These days, banks typically sell mortgages, and sometimes they are sold again, and eventually many get turned into bonds, which means that the people who take out the mortgages and the people who put the mortgages together are complete strangers. Alex Bloomberg of This American Life thought it was time they got to know each other.
Dan Nigro is a money guy. He works at a company called Dynamic Credit, creating fancy financial securities for Wall Street investment banks. These fancy securities are called CDOs, and they're made up of millions of mortgages. Mortgages which start with individual people taking out loans to buy houses. But by the time these mortgages finally get to Nigro, after being bought and sold several times and pooled together, all these individual people making individual decisions have been distilled into data, numbers on a computer screen,
if we look at that,
and not very good numbers. Nigro shows me one pool of mortgages that's in one of his CDOs. Over 40% of the mortgages are delinquent. 16% are in foreclosure.
And another 13%+ are actually being marketed for resale.
Does that mean that whoever owns the CDO owns those houses?
Indirectly, they do.
Have you ever actually met a borrower who's backing one of your pools?
No, I'd love to, as a matter of fact.
It's rare in public radio to find yourself in a position to actually grant a wish.
Hi, Theodora McKenzie, how are you?
Hi, Theodora, how you doing?
So we arranged to introduce Nigro to some of the people behind the numbers on his computer screen. He agreed to hop a ferry to a meeting at Staten Island Legal Services. We met with three women, all facing foreclosure. And one thing that becomes clear right away, if these women are any indication, a lot of the data that eventually makes its way to Nigro's computer is fudged. Here's Theodore McKenzie.
The mortgage guy showed me how to make your money look like you have more with the banks. You put it in your savings, you leave it there for 2 weeks, you take it out of your savings, you put it in your checking, and you leave it there for 2 weeks.
All the women at this meeting have examples of funny business like this. Mortgage brokers using straw buyers on loan documents or inflating incomes. But even without the apparent fraud, it's hard to see how some of these loans ever got made. Theodora McKenzie, for example, her monthly mortgage payment was almost $2,000. That's roughly $24,000 a year. But her salary was only $26,000 a year, meaning her mortgage payment was more than her take-home pay. And compare that to what her rent had been.
So you really want to know? Okay, it was subsidized. I was getting Section 8, and my rent was $597.
Now, Theodora McKenzie's mortgage may or may not be part of a pool that Dan Nigro owns. After all, he has exposure to over 16 million individual mortgages. But if she herself isn't in one of his pools, a lot of people like her are. And hearing about all the fraud and bad math and questionable assumptions that went into her loan compels Dan Nigro to speak on behalf of his industry.
Well, you're a nice lady and you speak well, but I wish we hadn't given you a loan.
And I wish you would have not given me that loan. I absolutely do.
Dan Nigro and the women facing foreclosure actually agree on quite a bit. Both camps say they got swept up in a sort of housing bubble euphoria, where common sense got thrown out the window. Nigro at one point says this current crisis is like a hangover after a wild party. And all the women nod in agreement. But what they don't agree on is what should happen next. While fully acknowledging the mistakes that his industry has made, Dan Nigro still thinks it would be a mistake to scrap the whole system. Selling and reselling mortgages and turning them into bonds, he says, makes credit more available and ultimately makes it easier for people like Theodore McKenzie to get loans.
You know, if we went back to the old way, what you did is you got 10 or 20% down on a house and you took out a fixed rate loan. Now, we're all nodding our heads, but that meant that, you know, on your $300,000 house, you would have had to save $60,000.
And it should have been that way, because that would have told me I can't afford it.
At the heart of this argument is a question. Did anything good come out of the housing bubble? Dan Nigro sees it from the perspective of the number cruncher. He knew that by expanding credit to people who hadn't qualified before, there'd be more defaults. More people like Theodore McKenzie. But in his mind, the benefits outweigh the costs. Theodore McKinsey is a necessary sacrifice on the path to making mortgages more available to more people. As the sacrifice, though, McKinsey tends to see things differently. Sure, lots of people got houses who couldn't have before. But if the majority of those people end up like her, losing their home several years down the road, what's the point? It's hard to tell who's right yet. For most of the 90s and early 2000s, the home ownership rate rose steadily as the system that Dan Nigro is a part of grew larger and more efficient and, at the end there, more reckless. But after peaking in 2004, home ownership has started to tick down again. Already it's back to where it was in 2001. No one knows how much lower it will go. For NPR News, I'm Alex Blumberg.